Hello and welcome to The First Serve. It's your host, Jed Zetzer, and today I'm chatting with Andrew Harris, who's in hotel quarantine in Melbourne. Andrew, thank you so much for taking out the time to join us. Mate, the lead up into this year's Australian Open has been like none other, and of course, qualifying this year was held in Doha for the men. How was your whole experience playing qualifying there? Were you able to take anyone with you, and what was the whole testing situation like? Obviously, you weren't able to train until you got tested. Was the testing consistent throughout your time in Doha? Tell us about that whole experience.
So obviously, it was a bit of a different experience. You know, you're thinking you're going to play qualifiers in your home country. But, you know, that's how it is with COVID. It's everything can change, you know, last minute. So, yeah, so I was got on a flight. At least there's a direct flight, Melbourne to Doha. Stayed at a really nice hotel, staying at the Ritz-Carlton there, so it was very nice. But
beautiful.
Yeah, the facility was really nice. I mean, they hold a ATP 500 there, I think, in our facility. And so it was obviously a really nice facility, but we're only allowed, obviously, between the hotel and the courts, so we couldn't actually go out and see anything, but that's expected. But no, it was fine. I wasn't able to take a coach, unfortunately. I wanted to take a coach, but we were told by Tennis Australia if I didn't qualify, you know, there was no guarantees that the coach was going to be able to come back into the bubble, whereas the players were guaranteed no matter if you qualify or not. But the coaches, I risked, like, if I didn't qualify, having to pay for a commercial flight home and then for them to do the normal hard quarantine. So you just couldn't justify bringing a coach in that sense. So I wasn't able to do, unfortunately.
Once you were there, what was the process like? Obviously, you had to quarantine before you could train. How many days did that last? And how often did you have to get tested?
So first test came when we first landed in Doha off the plane at the airport. Got tested then went back to the hotel, obviously isolated. I only had to isolate for maybe 14 hours. So I was one of the lucky ones because some of the players were waiting up to 30 hours and they were going nuts. But yeah, I was one of the lucky ones. Got to hit later that night because I landed first thing in the morning. And then the second test didn't actually come until right before my first round match, or like I played on the second day. So some guys started their first match without even having a second test, which I was sort of surprised at because all the other tournaments I've played, you needed two tests before you play. But I got the second test just after my first round match, or just before my first round match, but I didn't get the result till afterwards. And then had to take another test a few days later after that. And then I needed one more test to come back to Australia before I boarded the charter flight back to Australia. So I took, three or four tests while I was over in Doha. A couple of players tested positive mid-tournament.
Crazy.
So that's why I was sort of surprised that they didn't make it two negative tests before you competed, like a lot of the other tournaments have done previously.
Yeah, I was going to say, was that probably one of the more lenient testing systems that you've experienced?
Yeah, in the sense that, like, I thought it was going to be a rule that, like, from French Open and the other challenges, it's like one test you can practice on site, two tests before you can compete. But yeah, it wasn't quite like that because players were able to play before they got a second test. But so obviously there was a couple of players like Kudla won his first round and then had to get pulled out because he tested positive. So like, yeah, in that sense, I was a little surprised at that. But thankfully none of us Aussie guys tested positive.
Yeah, very thankfully. Mate, it was an unfortunate result going down to the second seed, Delian, in the second round. It was a really tight match. What can you take away from your whole qualifying experience?
I mean, honestly, I didn't feel like I played that well in either of the two matches I played, but especially the second one. And I guess take a positive is that, one, my body was feeling better, feeling healthy, and so that's obviously a positive. But two, the fact that I was very close and probably should have still probably won that match and I still didn't play very well, I think is also a positive sign that, you know, if I play, you know, just marginally a little bit better, that match probably turns in my favor. So that's obviously a positive, but, you know, I hadn't played many matches and it was always going to be tough, you know, but I guess everyone's in the same boat, of course, but Yeah, I mean, definitely. He's been top 100 and he's, I mean, 110 or so in the world, and I was very, very close to beating him and didn't feel like I played that well. So I guess I can take some positives out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you plan on playing doubles at the AO still?
Yeah, just waiting to hear on official confirmation with wildcards and stuff. But yeah, hopefully, yeah.
So now you're back home in Melbourne. What was the process like getting from Doha? Was this similar to when you last returned home last year?
Yeah, pretty similar. I mean, so we got private transport back to the airport from Doha, jumped on a chartered flight, which apparently I think is, you know, roughly 70 odd people on the plane. It was all spaced out. So like there was no one where I was sitting. There was no one behind me for a few rows, no one in front of me for a few rows, and no one to the left of me. So I wasn't close to anyone on the plane. And then when we landed, the same protocol, you know, they sort of usher you off and then you got to see all the health authorities and documents, and then jumped on a sky bus. And they escorted us to the hotel where they, you know, you met the health authorities and the police and everything at the hotel, and they just chucked me in your room and tested us right when we got, you know, to the hotel. And then we've had a test every single day since we've been here.
Wow. It's a very thorough experience compared to overseas tournaments.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, what we knew it was going to be strict here, and it had to be strict, of course. And I personally think, you know, they've done a good job with sort of the strictness of it. And so I really don't think it will get out to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. So after experiencing the flight and, you know, you having your own space, not being particularly close to anyone else, do you think it's the right call that players who are on flights with infected passengers are in a strict lockdown now? Or do you think that maybe they could have perhaps separated, you know, some passengers with others?
It's a really difficult one. I mean, obviously players were spaced out on the plane, but then, you know, everyone jumped on the bus and, you know, you weren't spaced out on the bus. And then we saw one of the Spanish players, Bedosa, she tested positive yesterday after seven days. So like that in itself is sort of proof that, you know, because luckily she was one of the ones who'd been isolating already in the hard lockdown because of her flight. But had she been able to practice and everything, you know, who knows, she could have easily have already given it to multiple people.
Yeah, exactly.
So like in that sense, it sort of shown that this strict protocol is what was needed. It's obviously unfortunate and it's very tough for players. You know, obviously not ideal preparation, but at the end of the day, we can't afford to you know, let it spread, or especially let it get to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure you can sort of relate to that a little bit more than others, considering it is in your home, you know, your home state, and you've gone through this lockdown as well this year with the rest of us. What sort of goes through your head when you see players posting on social media about, you know, the terrible food and the terrible quarantine and all these different types of posts? What are you thinking?
You don't like to see the complaining, really, because we've had calls every day since in this quarantine with Craig, and you know what Test Australia and Craig and his team have done to put on this tournament has been enormous. Like we've been, the Aussie players have been on calls from the last few months every week with all the plans, updated plans. Like, you know how much work's been put on behind the scenes to get this to go on. And then for obviously all the players to complain, obviously in public, but then also on the calls, some of the complaints are pretty outrageous. Obviously a lot of frustration, which I do understand, because, you know, 2 weeks in a hotel room is not ideal by any means before tournaments, especially for a Grand Slam. So they're going to be severely disadvantaged. There's no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, we are in a pandemic, and, you know, the fact that we're still able to compete is a privilege. But I obviously don't like seeing it, especially in your home tournament. You sort of get a bit, you know, protective or defensive of it as well. And knowing me as a Victorian, what everyone's been through with all the lockdown, and you hear the players complaining, it's sort of it is a bit frustrating. But you know, me being in the quarantine bubble here too, I can see the other perspective of it too, and the other side of it. So I see a bit both ways, but yeah, obviously a lot of the complaints are a bit out of line.
What's your quarantine experience been like? Are you staying by yourself in your room? How's it been? Have you had any new experiences in there to keep you busy?
No, it hasn't been too bad. I mean, I got lucky. I got a big room compared to from all the other guys I've talked to in this hotel and even the other hotels. I've got like a little living room with like a couch and everything.
Oh, win. In
my,
huge.
Behind me here, I got a bath. My bedroom's behind me, so I got two sort of rooms. So I got lucky. Definitely got more space this time around because my other hotel when I did in Perth was pretty small. But yeah, I mean, honestly, if you can get out 5 hours a day, it's not a whole lot different to regular training. I mean, yes, we don't get as much court time, and like because transport is run by the health authorities, and they've often been pretty late, so that just eats into your tennis time. So the last few days, I've only had, you know, hour 15, hour and a half on court because that's all that we've been allowed. Like by the time we get to the courts, it's a very strict, like, you know, we're allocated 2 hours of hitting, then straight onto gym, then straight onto nutrition, like time for eating. And so if we're often running late to the courts, that just eats into your tennis time. So it's just sort of bad luck. So there's not as much court time, but I mean, yeah, like end of the 5 hours, you're like, oh, I'm actually ready to go back to the room, surprisingly. You know, it's, you know, you're tired after training, you've been out, got some fresh air, and so that's good. But I'm also able to do some, I've got a bike to live to my room. Like I've got everything I need here. There's no complaints from me.
Mate, you've been training with Bernie Tomic. Is he someone that you've trained with before, and how's that experience going?
I think the first time I actually hit with him was in Doha, before qualies.
Okay.
Yeah, hit with him there. Bernie's an interesting one. So we got partnered together. I didn't allocate him, but because some of the planes got COVID, you know, they had cases and had to lock down, that sort of put some of the cohorts into disarray with planned practice partners because you got to nominate who you wanted for week one.
Okay.
So they apparently that was my only option. So I got partnered with Bernie, and yeah, he's not, oh, I wouldn't say he's the hardest worker. he sort of only wants to practice a little bit. But luckily I've been assigned Mark Draper. So he's a Tennis Australia coach, okay. But he coaches Dane Sweeney and Tristan Schoolgate. But because they're in hard lockdown and he's able to come out and he's been helping me and Bernie a bit on court, which has been lucky. So when Bernie doesn't want to hit as much, I'm able to still hit with Mark. So like luckily for Mark, because otherwise
yeah.
I wouldn't be hitting too many balls right now.
Very lucky.
Very lucky.
Andrew, what are your thoughts on Craig Tiley's comments about obviously the Grand Slam winners gaining preferential treatment? Obviously you've been quite outspoken about the lopsided nature of the tour. What sort of comes to mind when you hear Craig make those comments?
I don't know. I mean, you do expect the top players to get some sort of preferential treatment. That's just the nature of it. Like he says, I agree with that. That, you know, they're at the top of the game. They've sort of earned that right to get some sort of preferential treatment. It's just sort of a follow up, how much preferential treatment. I mean, I've heard players, or that the guys in Adelaide, some of them hitting 3-4 hours a day up to that amount of time, whereas the guys here hour and a half to 2 hours. So that's a pretty big difference. But from my perspective, I'm not complaining about that. You know, maybe someone, you know, some of those top 10 guys who, you know, competing for slams, where, you know, that sort of time makes a big difference to them between winning in five or losing in five to one of the guys. Like, that could be a bigger difference. But I mean, especially in COVID, there's always going to be, it's very, very hard to have equality in these times. So yeah, it's tough. I don't think Craig's wrong in saying that, you know, they're definitely going to get some sort of preferential treatment, but just hopefully that the players here in the Melbourne bubble are still able to get a good enough amount of court time where it's not, you know, too unequal.
Mate, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get out of quarantine?
Oh, mate, I've got a tournament to play. the tournament qualifying and main draw start literally the day of you get out, I think, or the day or the day after you get out. Like, so I'm staying in an apartment. I get out the 30th, I think in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm staying in South Yarra. So I think,
beautiful.
I'll move all my stuff to South Yarra and then I've got to practice or play. I'm not sure. I haven't exactly seeing the dates. But yeah, there's no time to chill. It's like bang, straight into a match and then prepare. I mean, hopefully might get a run in doubles. So we'll see in that Australian Open.
So are you going to play singles in the week, the tournament leading up, those two ATP tournaments in the week leading up?
Yeah, I've entered them. And, awesome. I mean, they're both, I think get a run in qualities at the minimum, yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, mate, wishing you the best of luck. We'll definitely be watching. We'll definitely be down there cheering you on. And not long left now in the quarantine, so hope you enjoy it and get as much out of Bernie while you're hitting with him.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, thanks for that. Appreciate it.